Ron had appeared in the doorway. His wide eyes travelled from Harry, who was kneeling on his bed with his wand pointing at Seamus, to Seamus, who was standing there with his fists raised. "He's having a go at my mother," Seamus yelled. "What?" said Ron. "Harry wouldn't do that. We met your mother. We liked her." "That's before she started believing every word the stinking Daily Prophet writes about me," said Harry at the top of his voice. "Oh," said Ron, comprehension dawning across his freckled face. "Oh, right." "You know what?" said Seamus heatedly, casting Harry a venomous look. "He's right. I don't want to share a dormitory with him anymore. He's a madman." "That's out of order, Seamus," said Ron, whose ears were starting to glow red. Always a danger sign. "Out of order, am I?" shouted Seamus, who, in contrast with Ron, was turning paler. "You believe all the rubbish he's come out with about you-know-who, do you? You reckon he's telling the truth?"
"Yeah, I do," said Ron angrily.
"Then you're mad too," said Seamus in disgust.
"Yeah, well, unfortunately for you, pal, I'm also a prefect," said Ron, jabbing himself in the chest with a finger. "So unless you want detention, watch your mouth."
Seamus looked for a few seconds as though detention would be a reasonable price to pay to say what was going through his mind. But with a noise of contempt, he turned on his heel, vaulted into bed, and pulled the hangings shut with such violence that they were ripped from the bed and fell in a dusty pile to the floor. Ron glared at Seamus, then looked at Dean and Neville.
"Anyone else's parents got a problem with Harry?" he said aggressively.
"My parents are muggles, mate," said Dean, shrugging. "They don't know nothing about no deaths at Hogwarts because I'm not stupid enough to tell them."
"You don't know my mother. She'll weasel anything out of anyone," Seamus snapped at him. "Anyway, your parents don't get the Daily Prophet. They don't know our headmaster's been sacked from the Wizengamot and the International Confederation of Wizards because he's losing his marbles."
"My gran says that's rubbish," piped up Neville. "She says it's the Daily Prophet that's going downhill, not Dumbledore. She's cancelled our subscription. We believe Harry," he said simply.
He climbed into bed and pulled the covers up to his chin, looking owlishly over them at Seamus.
"My gran's always said you know who would come back one day. She says if Dumbledore says he's back, he's back."
Harry felt a rush of gratitude toward Neville. Nobody else said anything. Seamus got out his wand, prepared the bed hangings, and vanished behind them. Dean got into bed, rolled over, and fell silent. Neville, who appeared to have nothing more to say either, was gazing fondly at his moonlit cactus. Harry lay back on his pillows, while Ron bustled around the next bed, putting his things away. He felt shaken by the argument with Seamus, whom he had always liked very much. How many more people were going to suggest that he was lying or unhinged? Had Dumbledore suffered like this all summer, as first the Wizengamot, then the International Confederation of Wizards had thrown him from their ranks? Was it anger at Harry, perhaps, that had stopped Dumbledore getting in touch with him for months? The two of them were in this together, after all. Dumbledore had believed Harry, announced his version of events to the whole school, and then to the wider wizarding community. Anyone who thought Harry was a liar had to think that Dumbledore was too, or else that Dumbledore had been hoodwinked. "They'll know we're right in the end," thought Harry miserably, as Ron got into bed and extinguished the last candle in the dormitory. But he wondered how many attacks like Seamus's he would have to endure before that time came.